Well, we want to reach out to the lost, to hurting. We want to accept people right where they are, but then we don't accept every lifestyle. How can we reach out to people with compassion and resist what's wrong with courage?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, it's a standard issue. It's the issue that's with us through the ages. It's the issue that's really with us right now, namely the issue of how to stand for what's right while not alienating people that you want to reach. We've talked about having backbones of steel and hearts of compassion. How does it work itself out in the everyday world? Michael Brown, welcome to The Line of Fire. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884 is the number to call. We'll be talking about a number of things that I believe are directly relevant to your life, and you can weigh in with your own comments. You can give me your feedback. You can tell me where you think the church is doing this well or not well. Maybe your own congregation you think is a good model for the way things should be done. Love to hear from you. And, more on the Planned Parenthood videos. Some things just need to be addressed. But let me start right in New York City. Yesterday on the air, I made a friendly, collegial appeal to Pastor Carl Lentz, not as an enemy, but as a colleague in Jesus, saying, hey, it would be great, dear brother, if you could give us some clarity on where the church stands on homosexual issues with regard to this internet rumor that really went viral saying that Hillsong New York City was allowing an openly gay couple to serve in the choir, with one of them being a volunteer leader in the choir. And there were quotes from this gay couple from earlier in the year saying, because they became well-known through a Survivor reality TV show, that yes, they had told the church about this and nothing had changed and so on. So there was enough stuff out there raising questions. And the problem was that although senior leader of Hillsong, Brian Houston, had issued a clear statement last year about where the church stood overall, since this had come out earlier in the year and then this viral report really trying to make Hillsong look bad, and unfortunately many people just went along with it, many people just went with the rumor, went with the report, and started to bash them and see, I told you so, and all of that, which was unfortunate. The problem was, though, that Pastor Carl has been very unclear in some public statements made to the point that it would be very easy to think the reports were true. I'm really grateful that Brian Houston issued two statements yesterday. The second one says this: I would like to correct the news that Hillsong has two men who have publicly stated they're gay leading the choir on our campus in New York. The position of Hillsong about homosexuality and gay marriage has not changed and is consistent with Scripture. As we stated earlier, I believe that Paul's letters are clear on this subject. It was a huge surprise for us as well when a few months ago one of our choir leaders made an unexpected statement on his engagement to a man who sometimes sang in the choir. It is my understanding that they are not involved in any active position of leadership or ministry ever since. That said, we still love them and understand, like us, they are also in a walk, and our role as a church is to help them on this journey with grace and compassion. By the way, the English on that wasn't perfect, because when I went to the website to read it, it was in Spanish, and I had to translate it back into to English online. But much appreciation to Pastor Brian for doing that, because you don't have to address every rumor. Thank you, dear brother, for doing that and issuing a longer statement that in many ways I think is excellent and positive. And then Pastor Carl said, yes, yes, that's the man making the statement for what we believe. The problem is believing the internet rumors on the one hand, and then not being clear enough up to that on the other hand. We'll be right back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks so much for joining us on The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. Let me start with an article that I wrote, went up yesterday, with an interesting title, one that you might say, what? That's odd. What are you actually saying? Can the church embrace the transgender community? Mike Brown, are you saying that people who cross-dress or people like Bruce / Caitlyn Jenner should just come in our church and serve and everything should be fine? What do you mean? Or do you mean, do we reach people where they are? Then how do we help them? Or maybe Jesus does have a problem with this, or he doesn't have a problem with that? Well, it's the obvious question with so much talk about transgender issues these days, and we can't avoid it. Got a call last Friday, I believe, from a woman wanting some counsel. Her 17-year-old daughter in high school was told in the last week of classes, before school broke earlier this year, that there were several kids in the school, including, what was it, four in a class of 30, her arts class, who were now going to be identifying as the opposite gender, and students would be required to call them by their new name and gender identity. And the daughter's very sweet, and from what the mom said, cares about the other kids, but did not want to be told by the school that she had to, you know, if Bruce was there, have to say, hi, Caitlin, and address him as her. So these issues are coming to us all the time. But we make a mistake if we just think to ourselves, oh, well, these are wicked, sinful people. You know, we've been told, hey, we're not drag queens. We're not homosexual. This is not a sexual thing at all. We've just been tormented for decades that we were trapped in the wrong body. We're sure there's some hormonal or genetic or biological or something happened somewhere along the line. And when we made the transition for the first time, we're at peace. For the first time, we're at peace. For the first time, we're whole. For the first time, we feel loved by God. We don't want to kill ourselves anymore. So what's your big deal? Why do you hate us so much? So obviously, we have to say we don't hate you, and we're not classifying you as the worst of sinners. We're not saying, man, you're more wicked than this. You're more wicked than this. You're really, really bad. No, we're not saying that. On the other hand, what if in good conscience we can't call Bruce Caitlin? What if in good conscience we can't separate that individual situation from the larger issues of gay activism? As I said in my article, after all, this is part of LGBT. So I put out a question last week, a sincere question for transgender, those who identify as transgender, saying, is there a test? Is there a definitive test? How do we distinguish between someone with a mental and emotional disorder and someone whose brain is literally different and verifiably so? Anyway, then how do we respond to each of those? So I asked for dialogue, and here are some of the main points that were raised by readers. One website alone within a few days had over 1,000 comments of people weighing in. So here are the main responses I got. One, well, there's not a definitive single test to determine if someone is transgender. Again, we're not talking about those who are intersex or have chromosomal abnormalities. There are rigorous psychological tests that help identify if someone has, quote, gender dysphoria. That would be the technical name. Two, well, we don't know for sure the cause of gender dysphoria. One woman named Melissa posted, or an individual named Melissa, there is little doubt that the causes of transgenderism are biological, neurological, genetic in nature, though the precise mechanism is unknown at this time. Three, the vast majority of those who transition are glad they did and for the first time in their lives feel whole. Four, while the current way of treating gender dysphoria is far from perfect, hormones, sex change, surgery, etc., by rejecting this method, we reject the one proven way to save transgender lives. Five, if we do not receive them based on their perceived identity, which would mean embracing Caitlyn rather than Bruce Jenner, then we are transphobic. Six, the church needs to realize that this is not an issue of sexual sin, but rather of people dealing with a deep internal struggle, one that drives many to suicide. Now look, if there's any group of people that we want to reach out to and say, you need to come. Don't stay away. Come, be with us. It's people who are broken and hurting. It's people who've been suicidal. Yeah, we want to reach everyone. But if you've got two people on the street and one of them says, I don't want your God. I don't care about your God. Get out of my life. Get out of my face. And that's their attitude. Well, you pray for them. You seek to reach them. But they've hardened their heart, and that's where they're at. Another person says, man, I'm hurting. I'm hurting, and I feel rejected. And I feel like you're rejecting me too. Well, obviously, you want to reach out to that person all the more and show them the love of God. So when you've got broken, hurting people that you want to reach out to, how do you stand for righteousness in the society at the same time? How do I put out a video in response to the Bruce Jenner phenomenon and refer to him as Bruce and say that I believe that we're celebrating a mental or emotional disorder rather than really helping him? How do I do that and stand against gender-neutral bathrooms and gender-neutral locker rooms without alienating the people that I want to reach, without you alienating the people that you want to reach? Maybe I post something on Facebook taking issue with transgender activism. You repost it on your Facebook page. And next thing you're hearing from friends who think that you hate transgenders, or a family member that had sex change surgery and said, I will never come to your church. How do we reach out to people with compassion and resist an activist agenda we differ with courage? This has been something I've been dealing with for over 10 years now. When the Lord laid on my heart that very word, reach out and resist. Reach out to the people with compassion. Resist the agenda with courage. 866-34-TRUTH. The same can be raised with the issue of abortion. How many women right now are listening who are still in pain because of an abortion? I mean, we've gotten so many calls in the last couple of weeks from people who broke down crying on the phone, one involved with an abortion over 40 years ago, and still crying over it. So how do we stand for life, speak out against the evils of Planned Parenthood? How do we do that and at the same time show our care, show our love, for women who are hurting after an abortion, for men who are hurting after their role in an abortion, for those contemplating abortion and they don't know where to go, they don't know where to turn, and they think, well, these people hate us because they're denouncing Planned Parenthood. They must hate me for thinking about it. These are challenging issues. We have it in many, many areas of society. Hey, look, during the years in the war to abolish slavery, now, you had professing Christians battling with professing Christians, but I'm quite sure that those Christians who were standing against slavery and the slave trade and denouncing the evils of it were offending professing Christians who said there's nothing wrong with it and were treating the slaves in a loving way and they're getting to hear the gospel and it's better than them dying, worshiping animist spirits and pagan deities in Africa. At least they can be in a Christian nation. And when we treat our slaves well, you're offending us. Well, yeah, be offended. I'm sorry. Be offended. I wrote an article last week raising the question, should Christians be concerned about offending Planned Parenthood? Because people were the tiny minority, but they were posting on my Facebook page or tweeting me, you're not loving because you're speaking out against Planned Parenthood. You better believe I'm going to speak out against Planned Parenthood without question. And I'm going to denounce the evil of what they do. There are plenty of other ways to get women health care without funding the evils of Planned Parenthood. At the same time, any article I write on it, anytime I want to raise it, I want to always point to the cross and say there's mercy and forgiveness. No matter what you've done, no matter how terrible you feel about it, Jesus will forgive if you turn to him and ask for mercy. He paid for that sin on the cross. So that's our challenge. And I've said it before. Said it earlier on the air today, we need hearts of compassion, backbones of steel. You say, Mike, does that mean that you live with a certain tension? Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Because as I stand for righteousness, I know I could be hurting someone that I want to reach. No matter how compassionate my tone, that the emotions are so raw, and there may have been so much rejection already, that the softest word for me can be perceived as further rejection. But I still have to speak the truth. It's like doing careful surgery, where you don't want the surgery to kill the patient, because without the surgery, they're going to die. But you don't want to kill them with the surgery. It's our holy dilemma that if our hearts are right, I believe God will work. 866-34-TRUTH. Go to the phones when we come back.
Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
My thing is that Jesus transcends politics.
It's not our place to tell anyone how they should live. That's their journey.
I don't really focus on a lot of those things. I try to stay in my lane of what I feel called to do. I just don't feel like that's not my core message.
You gotta watch what you're doing. You ought to know that. You gotta watch out.
Yeah, those watch were out. The voices of Pastor Carl Lanz, his wife, and then Pastor Joel Osteen. And obviously these are sound bites, but they're representative. And my appeal would be this, to Pastor Osteen, to Pastor Lenz, to others who want to be very careful. Trust me, I understand that you don't want to be caught with a soundbite that makes you look a certain way. I'm before the secular media also. I understand that you don't want to go by their agenda. And if you don't want to talk politics, you don't have to talk politics. I understand that. You might say, hey, I'm not a politician, I'm a shepherd. I understand that. And I understand as well that you could be misunderstood in such a way that you alienate people that you want to reach. So absolutely understand all of that. But please understand there's another side, that we are in a cultural moral battleground, that parents are sending their kids to school and the kids are getting bombarded, that young people are confused and looking for direction and clarity, that singles and couples are trying to get clarity about what the Bible really teaches, that legislators and politicians are looking at all these things, that the church, in the words of Martin Luther King, is the moral conscience of the society. So we need to be salt. We need to be light. And in point of fact, if we're not, we can't expect the world to see clearly. So we've got to think of both things, and I don't understand why we can't speak the truth in love, as Pastor Brian Houston did in his most recent statement, and just say plainly, here's where we stand, and these are our biblical views. Everyone is welcome to come and hear the gospel. We're going to love on everybody that comes through our doors, but if you're going to be an actively involved member, you know, serving in some type of leadership or ministry role, you have to be living a godly life, and that excludes homosexual relations. You can do that. So my appeal is for clarity with compassion. Isn't that doable? I believe it is, especially when you have a compassionate heart to start. All right, we'll go to Roseville, California. Kenny, welcome back to the Line of Fire.
Thank you, Brother Michael, for taking my call. I just want to share with you and the listeners, after that phone call that I had the last 2 weeks, the Lord has been really stirring my heart, bringing me to a place of more freedom, continually being changed. And I want to share...
Let me just jump in, Kenny. For our listeners, Kenny had called a couple weeks back, broke down in tears as he shared his role in an abortion with his girlfriend, then going to the abortion clinic together, as teenagers, aborting the baby, so his participation in that. And then he was in tears on the phone as he talked about that and went back. And, of course, We always pray for a deep sense of healing and forgiveness. So since then, Kenny, you say the Lord's really done a work in your life?
Yes, absolutely. You know, I shared before, we overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And God has put a vision on my heart of restoring the mantle of fatherhood. You think of the name planned, the parenthood. Parenthood means father and mother. So the fathers have been shut up, thrown in a closet, staying there in cowardness and shame. Guess what? That's where I was at for almost 20 years of my life. The guilt that I held on to. And I was sitting at work. I don't know if it was a vision or what. The Lord's hand, his pierced hand, just laid it right at my desk. And I named the baby Hope. And I put the baby Hope into his hand. It says, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. John 1:29. Take it away. He came to take it away, not to live with the guilt.
Yes, sir.
That's like Catholicism, penance, to just live with it and carry it. Jesus doesn't want that. He wants to take it away. But we cannot ignore what's going on with these videos in our society. We cannot ignore it anymore. I ignored it. I ran away from it. I didn't want to deal with it.
Because it's too painful. It brought up the past.
Painful.
Yeah,
it's
so
the past.
So
through the cross, I had to go there, each and every one of us, brothers and sisters, moms and dads. We all have to go there and look at it for what it is. But Jesus is not the one that's smearing it in our face. The devil is, okay?
Yeah, so Kenny, what's
the power
really...
of the air, these people are caught in a trap.
Yeah, what's really important.
And all the broadcasts.
Yeah. I just want to jump in because time is short, but I want to make sure we get to say this. What's really important for everyone to hear is that if we have not really received forgiveness in our hearts, or, you know, some people say, I know God forgives me, I can't forgive myself, whatever it is that stops us from walking in that reality of forgiveness, if we haven't been healed of those wounds, then we can't stand up the way we need to because it's too painful, because it just, I can't even get near that subject. So Kenny, first, thank God for what he's done and that reality. Jesus takes it away. I talked about it yesterday on the air, that the guilt disappears when that real forgiveness comes. It's a miracle. It's by his grace. So first, thank God for that. And then, Kenny, thank you for calling back and sharing this, because, yes, we must confront the evil of these Planned Parenthood videos. We must work towards their defunding. We must work towards a culture of life. We must work to see Roe v. Wade overturned. And yet, if our own hearts are still hurting, if it's too painful for us to go that way, then it's going to be difficult for us to stand. Thank you, sir, for calling in. That's a wonderful testimony. I believe God's done something that's going to last in your heart for the rest of your life. Thank you again for calling. Boy, maybe we could put that video up to or that audio to supplement that first call, because we put that online as well. Hey, friends, something very, very special we want to do. One of my most popular teaching series is called Go and Sin No More. It's 8 lectures. It's more than 10 hours of practical teaching how you can overcome sin, lead a holy and godly life. The MP3 download online is $20. It's our gift to you for your gift of any size to our ministry this week. If you go to my website, Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org, just click on Donate. You can read more there. But if you could help us, it's a great time these summer months. Your contributions will really be felt. If you appreciate what we're doing and the ministry we're doing, stand with us. And our thank you gift will really bless you. The complete download MP3 files of my Go and Sin No More teaching series. So take a minute, go there, askdrbrown.org, click on Donate.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
In Germany, there unfolded an unprecedented internal war in which more and more doctors became executioners. It began with sterilization and abortion and ended in murder.
Documentary about Nazi Germany. I wrote about that a week or two ago, asking were the comparisons between Planned Parenthood and the Nazis completely wrong, and actually quoted from a doctor, a neurologist, a famous neurologist, a brain researcher in Germany, who said, yeah, we knew where the brains were coming from, but they were perfectly good brains and helped our research. Where they come from, they came from euthanizing, in other words, murdering handicapped men and women, especially teenagers and young people who were mentally ill. And it could well be, because this doctor had to go on trial with the Nuremberg war trials, that according to some reports, which seem not disputed, that he was actively involved in setting up the programs to kill these people. And this way they could know they've got, okay, a fresh brain, they can keep it intact and so on, they can study it, they can understand mental illness better. Hey, it's being used for good purpose. It's being used for good purpose. Planned Parenthood babies, yeah, the fetal tissue is being used for good purpose. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Ian in Providence, Rhode Island. Thanks for calling the line of fire.
Thank you. You kind of probably just answered my question in some ways, but I've made that correlation between the Holocaust and abortion many times, but it dawned on me I never actually asked a Jewish person if that was offensive. So I guess that was kind of my question. You know, is that correlation valid? And to, you know, somebody who grew up culturally as a Jewish person, like, is that offensive? That's really my question.
Yes, and thank you for asking it, Ian. It depends on which Jewish person you ask. When you ask me, no, it's not offensive, and there are parallels. Is the life of the baby in the womb not a real life? Is that child that's clearly formed as a human being, in some cases could even live outside of the womb with a late-term abortion, is that not a child, not a real person? And was there not the dehumanizing of the Jews and others by the Nazis? And they are not real people or full people. So I think it's a very fair comparison. Many Jews, though, or especially American Jews, are fairly liberal in their views. And they would side with Planned Parenthood and things like that. So for them, it's terribly offensive to talk about the abortion Holocaust is comparing apples and oranges, and it's offensive and it's ugly. But if you have a more conservative Jew, and that's their mentality, then it would not be offensive, especially a Jew who's a follower of Jesus and shares these pro-life values. What I think we need to do, though, for those that find it offensive, is to say, look, Margaret Sanger, the founder of Planned Parenthood, had the same philosophy of eugenics and the superiority of certain races and peoples that the Nazis had. They come out of the same stream. Try to show them that. And then say, look, when you see these pictures of an ultrasound, when you find out you're going to be a mom or a dad or a grandma or grandpa, and you get the ultrasound and you look at it and you're all excited, wow, we're going to be parents, we're going to be grandparents, this is so exciting, it's a boy, it's a girl, tell me that's not a human being. Tell me that human being does not have a right to life. So if you want to dehumanize the baby in the womb, and then think you can just exterminate it and toss it or use its remains for some other purpose, it really does parallel in many ways what the Nazis did with people outside of the womb. So, Ian, many Jews would be offended by it, but not this Jew and not many Jews that I know. Thank you for asking, though. Glad you had that sensitivity.
Cleansing flame, send the fire. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Josef Mengele was born in Günzburg on the Danube in 1911, a well-behaved child. His wife would later say with conviction, "He was always such a nice man." At Munich University, Josef Mengele dreamt of fame as a doctor and researcher. Hitler's racist mania was new to him, but acceptable in scientific garb.
Hey, research. It's research. It's healthcare. It's humanitarian. It's a good work. And on the lies go, and then the deception becomes so blatant, so outright, that you can have, in the case of the Holocaust, the most horrific, inhumane, destructive, vile, demonic, barbarous acts that human beings could commit, being committed en masse. And then you could have, like, the Gosnell House of Horrors, where babies were born that survived abortion and then just killed once they made it out. 866-34-TRUTH. This is Michael Brown. Welcome to The Line of Fire. I want to replay a clip from Elizabeth Warren, played this yesterday, and then response from Joe Scarborough in this Morning Joe show. And let's remember, this is MSNBC, as liberal as it gets, not Fox. It's not Rush Limbaugh, okay, or Sean Hannity. This is Joe Scarborough on Morning Joe. First, let's listen to clip number 4 as Elizabeth Warren speaks against the defunding of Planned Parenthood in completely outrageous terms.
I come to the Senate floor today to ask my Republican colleagues a question. Do you have any idea what year it is? Did you fall down, hit your head, and think you woke up in the 1950s? Yeah. Or the 1890s? Should we call for a doctor? Because I simply cannot believe that in the year 2015, the United States Senate would be spending its time trying to defund women's health care centers.
All right. She said that. Completely outrageous comments. Completely outrageous comments. And here's how Joe Scarborough responds as there is a discussion about defunding Planned Parenthood and the recent videos. So we go to clip number 5.
I don't know what was acceptable in 1890 or what was shocking in 1950. The Archbishop of Chicago said, "Have we so muted the humanity of the unborn child that some consider it acceptable to speak freely of crushing a child's skull to preserve valuable body parts?" Was that acceptable in 1890 or 1950? "The commerce of body parts," the Archbishop says, "of defenseless unborn children is callously discussed over lunch." A woman who spoke yesterday on the Senate floor talks about a sheer disdain for human dignity and a complete disregard for women and their babies.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. One more. We'll go to clip number 6. This is a Morning Joe panel discussion about the Senate vote to defund Planned Parenthood, and specifically Elizabeth Warren, Senator Elizabeth Warren's speech. And the clips that we did play to me were among the most ridiculous, misleading that I've heard, and extremely out of touch with the reality of a large percentage of Americans. Clip number 6.
You know, just to be clear here, she's talking about the issue of defunding Planned Parenthood and its services. She's not talking about what's going on in these videos.
She's talking about an organization whose leaders
look, I don't disagree.
This way, and there are more. I it's going to be very interesting to see how many Americans really believe that their tax dollars should go to fund this organization. Planned Parenthood is not synonymous with women's health. You can have women's health, or you can have an organization that takes care of women's health without having the number one abortion provider who speaks so callously over lunch about the harvesting of unborn children.
Precisely so. Exactly. Well said. We'll play one more clip. And then I want you to hear an ad. I want you to hear a voice. I want it to register in your mind. This is someone that you could never, ever even consider voting for. But first, a little bit more of the discussion. Clip number 7 from Morning Joe, yesterday's show.
It's only going to get worse for Planned Parenthood. I agree with Hillary Clinton. There are troubling things on those tapes. And everybody needs to open their eyes and see that instead of reflexively talking about right-wing attacks on a woman's right to choose. Please stop insulting our intelligence, Elizabeth Warren. Stop.
Yeah, thank you. Well said. I'm glad it's being said on MSNBC. Now, for Hillary, though, the troubling thing, for the most part, is that Planned Parenthood is being attacked by these right-wing extremist groups. So here's an ad released by the Hillary Clinton campaign. When did it come out? Did it come out before these videos? No, it came out on Monday. So we go to clip number 8. This is an ad for the Hillary Clinton campaign.
Republicans like Scott Walker and Jeb Bush are calling to defund Planned Parenthood, the country's leading provider of reproductive health care. And they are joined by Republicans in Congress who will not waste a minute in voting to make that happen. If this feels like a full-on assault on women's health, that's because it is.
Ooh, bad news. Well, listen, we knew this is Hillary Clinton. We knew this. There's no possible way that you could love God and love the unborn and vote for Hillary Clinton. That's a no-brainer. If I offended you, great, good, fine. Think about it. Notice I said two things, love God and love the unborn. So I was specific in how love of our neighbor works itself out. If we could hear the voices of millions of babies, I wonder what they would tell us about Planned Parenthood. Hillary Clinton, extreme pro-abortion, and everything that you do not want in someone leading the nation. We've had 8 terrible years of a radical pro-abortion president. You may like other things about President Obama's policies or about him as a man or other things in his government that you think were good or positive or America's better in certain ways. I'm not debating the overall presidency. I'm speaking about this specific thing. 8 horrible years as far as pro-life. And thankfully, the movement is stronger now probably than when President Obama was elected because of the reality of life of the unborn and because of the evil of abortion, because more and more Americans are getting it. But we need to pray for godly pro-life leaders. 866-34-TRUTH. We go to Queens, New York. All right. Let's try Westbrook, Maine. No. All right, folks. Let me continue on my little roll here. Maybe folks just couldn't hold. 866-348-7884. Of course, Planned Parenthood is going to defend itself. Of course, Planned Parenthood is going to say what we're doing is good and we're helping people. So Executive Vice President, Chief Operating Officer Dawn Leguins, not sure how to pronounce the last name, Leguins, but this is the response from almost a week ago, July 30th, Planned Parenthood responding to these undercover videos. So let's continue with clip number 9. Again, this is the Executive Vice President and Chief Operating Officer.
What you see on those videotapes, first and foremost, is somebody following the law, and second, people who have been breaking the law in order to badger and stalk doctors and go into the most private, personal medical situations and to try to present wrongdoing when there is none.
Oh, those evil people who made the video. How terribly shameful of them. Harassing, stalking. What were they thinking? How terrible, evil, bad people. Planned Parenthood just doing its job, caring for the most intimate concerns a woman would have, and doing nothing illegal whatsoever. Oh, right, sure. Absolutely. And the people who expose other evils in our society, like the young ladies have gone into Planned Parenthood and had the receptionists tell them right out, right flat out, yeah, we're going to break the law. We're not going to say what your age is because you're too young. We'll just leave that part out. And all the other unethical, ugly things that Planned Parenthood does and the massive money-making machine it is at the expense of the blood of the unborn. You've got the audacity to point a finger at the people doing the undercover video? That is telling. That is very telling.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks so much for joining us on The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. Let's listen to another quote from Vice President, Chief Operating Officer of Planned Parenthood, Dawn. Again, sorry for not knowing how to pronounce her name, L-A-G-U-E-N-S. And no, they've done nothing wrong. The bad ones are the ones doing the recording. You know what it's like? You know what it's like? That your neighbor, you hear screaming, yelling from the backyard of your neighbor's house. You hear someone saying, don't come near me, don't come near me, don't come near me. And they say, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to kill you. I'm going to kill you. And you quick, you pick up your phone, dial 911 and say something's going on here. And then you run to the back of your house and you pull out your cell phone and you record it as the guy comes after the gal and he's got a shovel in his hand and he starts smashing her and beating her and then throws it down and runs. And you had a, you know, peek into your neighbor's backyard to shoot that. And then when the guy's caught, then he's, how dare you take that video? I thought you were my neighbor. How dare you call 911? What gave you the right to do that? You're sneaky. You're deceptive. Wow. I mean, hey, anyone can watch the video and watch the whole video and see for themselves what's going on. And first, you know, Planned Parenthood denied anything wrong, then apologized for the tone, and that went over like a lead balloon. We apologize for the tone. What we're talking about is perfectly fine, but the tone with which we spoke about it is not fine. As I said many times, oh yeah, I'm sure they're weeping over the abortions on the other days. I'm sure they're weeping over these things and the pain in women's lives. Yeah, right, sure. Well, things are failing one after another. Rather than acknowledging guilt, no, they are entrenching themselves with ridiculous rhetoric all the more deeply. So let's go to clip number 10, again from July 30th, so just about 1 week ago.
I think if you are talking about the video that just came out that is in a medical facility where doctors are doing their job and are being, again, stalked by anti-abortion extremists, what you see is the usual kind of situation where a medical or research procedure is being discussed. And that can be very difficult. We totally understand that. But the reality is, what it shows is doctors doing their work, and it shows an amazing invasion of privacy.
So much I want to say. Number one, they were not being stalked. That was referring to the fourth video. Since then, another damning video, video number five, has come out. They were not being stalked by anti-abortion extremists. They were being exposed by pro-life activists. Let me repeat that. They were not being stalked by anti-abortion extremists. They were being exposed by pro-life activists. That's number one. Number two, they were not simply doing their work. They're talking about money that can be made off of these baby parts. How barbaric. And you're talking about an invasion of privacy. How about the privacy of the baby that did not ask to be sitting there in that tray ripped into pieces? What an utter despicable outrage. David DeLaden, again, I may be pronouncing his name incorrectly, is asked to defend the videos in light of the attacks coming against them as these right-wing violent extremists. Talking about vile, false accusations. Joey, skip down to clip number 15. This is just from yesterday on CNN's New Day, discussing the findings of the first four videos in the Human Capital series. Here's what he has to say.
Ultimately, the 2.5-year-long investigative journalism study that the Center for Medical Progress conducted about Planned Parenthood's sale of fetal tissue, ultimately, that's about exposing to the public the reality of how Planned Parenthood conducts their fetal tissue sales and what their relationship with companies like Stem Express is like. It's not an issue of the rest of Planned Parenthood services or whether or not those are a good thing. It's specifically about showing the public exactly how those sales work and documenting those in a way that everybody can see.
All right, and what about the accusation? What about the accusation that this group, Center for Medical Progress, is a violent extremist group? They somehow relate it to killing abortion doctors and things like that. What about that charge? Clip number 14.
David, your critics of your organization, I should say that you're not journalists, as you purport to be on your website, but rather you're violent extremists. They say that you are operating under the guise of investigative reporting, but really you're trying to shut down all Planned Parenthoods and women's access to things like birth control and other services that they provide.
Right. That is the accusation. That is the accusation that this is what you're trying to do. They are exposing the evils of Planned Parenthood. They have no connection to murdering abortion doctors or anything like that. I mean, when you have to sink that low to make ugly, false accusations like that because you are being so exposed and discredited, you know you're in trouble. Let's believe God for this. Lord, in this year, may Planned Parenthood may be brought down. In this year, may Planned Parenthood be brought down, and may a compassionate, pro-life, woman-caring ministry, organization, company be raised up to replace it, or a host of companies. May Planned Parenthood be brought down, and may those who really care for the health of women and for the health of the unborn, may that be raised up to take their place. Okay, a reminder, in case you missed this just a few minutes ago, one of the most popular teaching series I've ever done is called Go and Sin No More. Parallels my book on that subject. Some of the most effective teaching we've ever done. Look, every one of us has to deal with sin, the flesh, temptation. And by God's grace, you can live an overcoming, transformed life where sin is not the rule of your life, where living for God is the rule of your life, and sin is the exception to the rule. It's a practical teaching series. It's only $20 to get it. But this week, for your gift of any size, be as generous as you can. It's summer months, and we could really use your help. If you appreciate the ministry, this is your way of saying, hey, Mike, we're with you. We're holding our hands up. We're cheering you on. I want to say thank you back to you. So your gift of any size, you can download for free and keep the entire MP3 teaching. It's 8 lectures. It's more than 10 hours. You'll be edified. It's practical. It's life-giving. So go right now to the website. This is online only. Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org. Click on donate, and automatically we'll send you the link. You can download the files. You'll be blessed. My bottom line today, I will continue to speak out against evil, even if it offends the world. At the same time, I'll reach out to every last sinner with the grace and mercy of our God. Well, we want to reach out to the lost, to hurting. We want to accept people right where they are, but then we don't accept every lifestyle. How can we reach out to people with compassion and resist what's wrong with courage?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey, it is great to have you on the air today with me, 866-34-TRUTH. It'd be awful lonely just speaking into the air. You say, well, Mike, do you have like thousands of people in the studio? No, but I feel you out there. We are in this together, 866-34-TRUTH. To all my friends in the greater Dallas-Fort Worth area, everyone listening to my voice right now on our great Dallas-Fort Worth stations that we're so blessed to be on. I'm going to be part of a special Messianic Jewish conference focused on the Tree of Life Bible, Messianic Jewish theology, things like that. Jack Hayford will be there. Jonathan Bernis will be there. God willing, I'll be there. I leave to fly to Dallas after radio today. Please join me. It's a one-day conference on August 7th. You can find out more by going to my website, askdrbrown.org. Just click on itinerary, which is under the contact menu. Click on itinerary, and that'll tell you more about the conference and how you can be part of it. Also, exciting news, a way that we can be a blessing to you as you're standing with us. So I don't want to forget, I want to bring this up right at the outset. But tell you what, let me give you our number again, 866-348-7884, 866-34-TRUTH. I've covered a lot of ground in the first hour that I wanted to cover, and I want to open up the phones as well for any questions that you want to ask me today on subjects you want to raise. I want to pave the way, make some time, that's the idiom, for you to do that, 866-348-7884. If you want to follow through on issues relating to abortion, if you want to follow through on issues relating to other moral challenges for the church today, if you want to ask me a biblical or theological question or get clarification on some issue, or maybe are we really in the end times? Where do we stand prophetically? I'm willing even to talk about that. A lot of questions about the Shemitah and is an economic collapse or stock market collapse coming in September? We're in August now. So phone lines are open. Once more, 866-34-TRUTH. But just some neat news I wanted to pass on to you. I did a teaching a few years back on my book, related to my book, Go and Sin No More, Call to Holiness. And the teaching series is called Go and Sin No More. It's 8 lectures, practical teaching to help you lead an overcoming life, to help you say no to the flesh and temptation, to help you lead a life free of condemnation and empowered by God's grace. It's one of our most popular teaching series. It's only $20 to get, and it's what, over 10 hours of teaching, maybe even 12 hours of teaching. So it's a really good deal, but we just want to say thank you to everyone who stands with us this week. We want to personally say thank you for your gift. In the summer months, sometimes there's extra pressure on the ministry, and all the more we're on our knees praying in funds so that we can be on the radio and be traveling to the nations and be doing the outreach that we do. So it's our thank you gift. Your gift of any size, obviously pray, be as generous as you can, but your gift of any size, we will give you the download code so that you can download the entire series, have it on MP3, listen to it on your computer or your MP3 player, and it's yours to keep. So if you can stand with us this week, we'd really, really appreciate it. And this is our way of saying thank you and equipping you to live a holy life and to be blessed as you do. So this is by internet only, not by phone. So go to 1-800, excuse me, not to give you the phone number. How's that? Go to askdrbrown.org. That was a first. Askdrbrown.org. askdrbrown.org. Just click on donate, all right? And when you do, you'll be blessed as well as blessing us. Thank you. Thank you.
Give us strength to always do what's right.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Yeah, let me just say this one more thing about Planned Parenthood. They claim that they are being stalked by anti-abortion extremists. No, they are being exposed by pro-life activists. That's the truth of the matter. That is the truth of the matter. But I want to say it again. If you've had an abortion, if you participated in an abortion and you're guilt-ridden over it, there is forgiveness in Jesus. You say, I know I'm forgiven, but I'm still guilt-ridden. I believe you can deeply regret what you did, but not be guilt-ridden. We got a call last hour from a gentleman named Kenny. He had called a couple of weeks ago, and he was one of two callers that day, virtually consecutive, if I remember. But we put them on YouTube as consecutive calls, where he called in and broke down crying, talking about participating in abortion something like 17 years earlier, when he got his girlfriend pregnant, and they went together to the abortion clinic, and then after that he came to faith and broke down crying in pain over it. And he wanted our listeners to know that in these 2 weeks since then, God did a miraculous work in his heart. Just had a vision of Jesus' nail-scarred hand taking away the sin of the world. John 1:29, the words of John the Immerser, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And he got that revelation that the sin, the guilt of it, was taken away. And he didn't have to bear it any longer. In the old hymn that we'd sing about God's mercies, my sin, oh, the bliss of this wonderful thought, my sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. That's the gospel. And he even saw, in vision sense, he saw the baby that they had aborted, and he just gave it the name Hope. It was something symbolic for him. I mean, that some transference is going on in heaven or something, but it was symbolic for him, and he's free. And before that, he didn't want to see the Planned Parenthood videos. He didn't want to deal with it. It was too painful, too difficult. But now that he feels free, he's shouting to the whole world, you must see these. 866-34-TRUTH. Okay. I want to pursue this subject, and yes, we will take calls regarding abortion. We will, thank you for calling back. There was a call I never was able to get to yesterday, but thank you for calling back. What about women who've had abortions or men who participated in abortion, and they're trying to mend, they're trying to get whole. Maybe the woman, like a caller yesterday, still wakes up in the middle of the night in a bad dream saying, stop, don't abort the baby, don't abort the baby. Others unable to get pregnant afterwards. They think, oh no, what did I do? And people just plagued by it. And there are other aspects regarding recovery from abortion. So I do want to get to that momentarily. But if you have a testimony, if you want to give a word of warning to listeners about your own experience, or if the Lord has helped bring life into your life after abortion and bring you forgiveness, we'd love to hear from you. And if you were going to have an abortion and you didn't because of a Christian influence or divine intervention, I'd love to hear from you as well, 866-34-TRUTH. But I also want to get to this subject, only touched on it briefly in the first hour, of how to reach out to those who are hurting, those who are lost, those who are away from God, those who feel alienated, those who feel rejected by the church. That would certainly be many women who've had abortion. They think, man, they must hate me. If they ever found out about my past, they wouldn't want anything to do with me. Certainly many people who identify as LGBT feel that way about the church. If you knew who I really was, you'd hate me. I can't go to your church. How do we reach out to them with compassion without compromising our moral standards while still being pro-life, while still being pro-family, pro-marriage, pro-biblical holiness? 866-34-TRUTH. All right, anonymous caller, thank you for calling the Line of Fire today. Go ahead. What's on your mind?
Hi. I was just calling because I think that it's really important that women and men, both who have experienced abortion, know that there are alternatives out there and that there are opportunities for them to be healed. There are pregnancy care centers across the nation who offer Bible studies and intensive counseling with real certified counselors, oftentimes outside of the care centers for the protection and for the privacy of the person who comes in. But it can absolutely allow you to realize that the Lord loves you no matter what, and that His love covers over any past mistake that you may have ever made. So I wanted to encourage anybody who's in that place that has been living in that guilt and shame to look at the website. It's www.care-net.org, and that is a network of pregnancy care centers across the nation, and they have amazing resources there. You can just click in the little search thing, abortion recovery or abortion restoration, and they would be more than happy to get you information.
Yeah, please give us that website again.
It's www.care-net.org, C-A-R-E-N-E-T.org.
All right, I'm just clicking on it right now and looking at it. Plan Changing Truth, Life Saving Hope, care-net.org. It says since 2008, CareNet's life-affirming network of affiliated pregnancy centers has made a huge impact on the lives of unborn children and their families, with 388,691 life decisions. Wow. You know, I know some folks that work in an abortion, a pregnancy crisis center. So women go in there and they're told, okay, here are your alternatives. And if they're willing to pray, let's pray with you. And hey, why don't we do an ultrasound? And why don't we look at the baby? And well, okay, here are adoption options or whatever the issues are, whatever the fears are. And of course, there are attempts to shut them down. I remember the New York City trying to shut these down. You think, why in the world are you shutting this down? What could possibly motivate you to shut them down except Planned Parenthood and other abortion clinics going to lose money if the women decide not to abort? But women need to know, if you go into an abortion clinic, or as many call them an abortion mill, if you go into Planned Parenthood, they are not going to sit you down and say, let's think through the options. And why don't we get an ultrasound? And maybe you want to give this some further prayerful consideration. No, they're going to get you to sign on the dotted line and go ahead and do it, as callers have testified and has been widely verified. So thank you for that. Again, that is care-net.org. If you're considering abortion, if you know someone that's considering abortion, or if you're still in pain after an abortion, you can get help there and references, hopefully to places in your area. Thank you so much for calling. Much appreciated. All right. 866-34-TRUTH. Reach out and resist. That is the word that the Lord laid on my heart over 10 years ago, dealing with homosexual issues. Reach out to the people with compassion. Resist the agenda with courage. I am widely hated in the LGBT community. I am considered a vicious homophobe. Pretty much on a daily basis, I see really ugly post comments to the point they have to be deleted from our social media sites. Profane, ugly, on every level. Wide array of these all the time. I'm sure I see only a fraction of what's actually out there. However, to the extent I can dialogue with anyone, to the extent they will actually take the time to read the articles, watch the videos, and not just react to a soundbite or to a misconception, people know that I care. People know that I care, because I do. I was in Holland talking with Christian workers there about these issues, and I broke down crying as we talked. I said, I don't want to hurt people. I care so deeply about these individuals. This is not just an issue. This is not just a social issue. I care deeply about these individuals. And yet I know it's imperative that we stand for righteousness in the society. So we live with a holy tension. Reach out and resist. Hearts of compassion, backbones of steel. But I believe it's like that in many areas of life. Because as we stand for what's right, we know that we could be hurting someone that feels offended. As we speak against Planned Parenthood, that there are others that are going to be hurt and offended, and they're hurting people. Somehow, we have to speak love and truth at the same time. By the way, I appreciate a statement that President Obama has just made regarding, regarding something very close to abortion. It's a shame the connection hasn't been made. We'll be right back.
Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, you got to check this out. This is Michael Brown, your listener-sponsored voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Check this out. This is TheFederalist.com, Molly Hemingway, and pictured there the president and Cecile Richards, president of Planned Parenthood, whose apology for the tone of the first video released by the Center for Medical Progress was widely panned, made Planned Parenthood look even worse. She's been to the White House dozens of times with President Obama's presidency, according to what I have read. So here's a story in The Federalist, Molly Hemingway. Today, Obama, killing humans and harvesting their organs is an atrocity that must end. What? When did he say that? President Obama told a group of young African leaders on Monday that harvesting organs from humans that are killed as part of an African ritual was craziness and a cruel tradition that needed to stop. He warned of dehumanizing marginal groups of humans and of the problems that arise when you are not able to see someone else as a human being. In a wide-ranging question and answer session with members of the Young African Leaders Initiative, a woman from Kenya said, quote, persons without albinism, so albinos, in Africa are being killed and their body parts harvested for ritual purposes. My request to you is to raise the issue with heads of state of African countries to bring these atrocities to an end. Obama decried the practice and went on to encourage the young people to do everything in their power to fight on the behalf of vulnerable humans. Quote, young people, you can lead the way and set a good example, but it requires some courage because the old thinking, people will push back at you, and if you don't have convictions and courage to be able to stand up for what you think is right, then cruelty will perpetuate itself. If there's one thing I want Yali leaders to come out with, it's the notion of you are strong by taking care of the people who are vulnerable, by looking after the minority, looking after the disabled, looking after the vulnerable. You're not strong by putting people down. You're strong by lifting them up. That's the measure of a leader. Obama also tied the practice of harvesting organs from albinos with racism and discrimination against gay people and urged consistency in how they view the sanctity of human life if they want to complain about human rights abuses. Obama's comments come in the midst of a weeks-long scandal in his own country of the killing of unborn children via abortion, followed by the harvesting and distribution of their organs. How can he not see the utter hypocrisy of his comments? How can our president not see this extraordinarily sickening double standard? And then to use it to tell him you need to accept gay agenda in your African countries. Wow. On the topic of human organ harvesting, President Obama's spokesman, Josh Earnest, has said that President Obama has chosen not to watch the video footage of Planned Parenthood officials dissecting human fetuses for parts. Nevertheless, President Obama's vehemently defended the abortion group. You know what happened after World War II? You know what happened? After the concentration camps were uncovered and the full evil of what happened, causing soldiers used to the violence of war to throw up as they saw the devastation, the murderous horror, the barbaric acts of the Nazis, they forced citizens in the community, people that lived in the neighborhoods, they forced these Germans. I'm not indicting old Germans, but plenty knew what was happening and looked the other way. They forced them to walk through and look. Look at this. President Obama won't look at the videos. 2012, Planned Parenthood said while announcing a $1.4 million ad buy on his behalf that they had no greater champion than President Obama. How does that work? A nonprofit supported by taxpayer money put out a $1.4 million ad to support a presidential candidate? During his time in the Illinois Senate, Obama's devotion to abortion was so extreme that he argued a form of infanticide should remain legal out of fear that protecting infants born alive might somehow protect young humans in the womb. Wow. Thank you, Molly, for posting that. Matt, I got to write an article on that. Article number 2 that I got to write tonight. 866-348-7884. So changing back to the gay-lesbian issues. By the way, the Bruce Jenner reality TV show, you say you just offended me by calling her Bruce. I'm sorry. I believe it's Bruce. I'm truly sorry if I offended you. I don't mean that in a condescending way, in a silly way. You may be a very sensitive individual and feel that what I just did is terribly insensitive. I'm sorry. I don't believe that's Caitlin. I believe it's Bruce and that Bruce needs help, not celebration and reality TV show. But after 1 week, the viewership dropped in half. Maybe the fascination is not so fascinating. Maybe you think maybe this is a little odd. I don't know. I haven't seen the show. And by the way, it's not like I'm avoiding Planned Parenthood videos like the president is. I just, why am I going to watch the celebration? I don't see the purpose of it. I've read enough. I've heard enough. I'm not denying what's on there. In fact, the more I'd see, probably the more my position would be deepened. But viewership after week is down in half for whatever it is worth. So I wrote an article, Can the Church Embrace the Transgender Community? It follows up an article I asked, in which I asked a question, July 31st, a sincere question for those who identify as transgender, namely, what is the test? How can you tell? How can you tell if someone does not have a mental or emotional disorder? I'm talking about for those who believe there is such a thing as being transgender. How do we know it's not a mental emotional disorder? How do we tell the difference between that and someone actually has something in their brain, something physically in their brain that is sending wrong signals? I mean, if there is such a thing, what's the test? I want to interact. I want to find out the perspective. And I got some great responses. No, there is no definitive test, but I got some great responses. So I wrote a follow-up article, Can the Church Embrace the Transgender Community? We got lots of comments. One website alone, the Charisma News website, we got over 1,000 comments in the first few days. A gay journalist took the time to respond with an article of his own. And some people were downright nasty, bashing me. I understand. They look at me as causing pain and suffering, and so they're upset with me. And others, you know, going to play God and say that I was not asking a sincere question, or I knew there was no test. No, I want to understand their perspective. How do you know? How do you test it? What is definitive in your eyes? Is there anything? But the interaction from many was really helpful. I pulled some key comments. I didn't read everything, but I pulled some key comments from our Facebook page and then from the article. I stored it so I could go back and look at them. I looked up some of the links. And I found it really helpful. So I've responded now with this article. It's part of the whole reach out, resist thing. So we come back. I want to talk about my response to deal with a very specific, very small, but often needy because of a lot of rejection and pain and struggles over the years. People for whom Jesus died. I want to speak about how we relate, how we have dialogue in the midst of our differences. 866-34-TRUTH. We'll be right back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Save the your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome, welcome to the broadcast. This is Michael Brown, your listener-sponsored voice of moral, your listener-sponsored voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Earlier, the first hour, I was talking about, for your gift of any size, we want to send you this download, a complete teaching series I did on holiness and overcoming sin and leading a godly life empowered by the grace of God. And I said, it's internet only, you can't call. And I started to give the phone number, but caught that, was able to catch that. Thankfully, we've got a video, post it. It's called Church Hypocrisy and Gay Choir Directors. It's from yesterday's broadcast, Church Hypocrisy and Gay Choir Directors, interacting with Pastor Dewey Smith Jr., a short clip. Now, he's got a long post from a week ago on Facebook, about 2.5 pages, and I'm going to try to interact with that maybe in written form. But it was constructive interaction. I think you will enjoy watching that. So I interact with it. You can watch me from radio yesterday at our studio, and then you can watch the clips with Pastor Dewey. And I go back and forth interacting with it. It's about 10 minutes long, 10 and a half minutes. It's on our YouTube channel. So go to Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org, and just click on the YouTube icon. Let me encourage you to join our subscribers there on YouTube, all right? Join our subscribers. We are little by little getting our YouTube channel where we want it to be. If you go there today, you will immediately be enriched. You can look and see, okay, here are the most recent uploads and most popular videos. Then you can look at debates I've had, various debates, full-length debates, short TV debates. You can watch and listen to excerpts from our radio show. There are sermons and lectures you can watch. We tell you more about different books and resources. Lots and lots and lots of videos. We've had almost 2 million views so far. We've got over 13,600 subscribers. But I'm telling you, we are scratching the surface of what we hope to do. We've got our video equipment in place. We've just got to get a few other things in place so that we can do this on a more regular basis. But we look to put out 1, 2, sometimes even 3 new videos every single week. And we're looking for the day when the moment something happens in the news and we talk about it on the air, that later that day, boom, you'll be able to watch that and even doing live streaming of the show. So be praying with us as you stand with us and help with your giving. You're helping us in these very projects. And remember, your gift of any size, just go to Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org, click on Donate, and you can read more there. But your gift of any size, and do whatever the Lord lays on your heart. Be as generous as you can, because we really get stretched, and there's a lot of pressure often in these summer months. But we will send you a free download of a full-length teaching series on holiness, grace-empowered, condemnation-free, serious living for God, not playing games with sin. 8 teachings, I think 10, 12 hours total. So go there, askdrbrown.org, and then just click on where it says donate, and you'll be sent an email, and then that email you'll be able to download and keep the 8 teachings on Go and Sin No More. You listen to it on your MP3 player, on your computer, however you like, you'll be able to do that. All right, we come back. I want to get into my practical interaction with those who identify as transgender as I'm trying to articulate Reach Out and Resist. Hearts of Compassion's Backbones of Steel. Hearts of Compassion, Backbones of Steel. We don't agree with this, but we care for you as people. Let's talk. Let's get to know each other. Let's understand each other. And here is Jesus. We want you to know him.
Flame, send the fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us. That is the number to call if you'd like to weigh in or have a question, 866-348-7884. If you missed the controversy, Hillsong Church, New York City, did they in fact have a gay choir leader, openly gay, engaged to a man in the church who was also part of the choir? Is that true? Pastor Brian Houston, who heads up Hillsong International, and Carl Lenz has said amen, the pastor of Hillsong New York City. Carl has said amen to what Brian has said. August 2015, Brian Houston put out the statement. So August 2015, put it out yesterday, okay? I wish to correct reports that Hillsong Church has, quote, an openly gay couple directing a choir at our New York City campus. Hillsong's position on homosexuality and gay marriage has not changed and is consistent with Scripture. As I've stated previously, I believe the writings of Paul are clear in this subject. Several months ago, one of our choir directors made an unexpected public statement regarding his engagement to a man who sometimes sang in the choir. It was a complete surprise to us as well. It is my understanding that they have not been involved in an active leadership or ministry role since. That said, we still love them, acknowledge that they, like all of us, are on a journey, and our role as a church is to assist them on this journey with grace and compassion. And then earlier in the day, he had a more full statement, do I love gay people? So appreciation to Pastor Brian for putting that out. Appreciation for Pastor Carl Lenz saying, yes, absolutely. This is who we are. That is what we believe. My problem, as I've stated repeatedly, is that Pastor Carl Lenz made some very ambiguous statements last year. One interview to me was downright different from this public statement by Brian Houston. And I understand the desire to be compassionate. New York City has a larger homosexual population than many other parts of America. And I'm sure there are many LGBT people who are looking for God and looking to have a church where they can study the word and grow. And they love going to Hillsong. They love the worship. They love Carl Lenz's preaching or teaching or friends they have there, but they think it's okay for them to be in a committed gay relationship, and are they at home there? And well, my concern is that statements have been all too ambiguous, and at times, in my view, even misleading. Because of which, when an internet rumor circulates, which seems to be based on truth, as a lot of internet rumors are. On the one hand, wrong for Christians to just jump on board. Wrong for Christians to just start attacking. We knew it all along. These evil people at Hillsong. Wrong. Would you want that done to you? Would you want that done if it was reported about your family? Would you want that done if it was reported about your church, your ministry? Blast it out for the whole world to see? And now you have to start responding to it? What if you don't want to respond to it in that way? What if it's... If you spend all your time responding to internet rumors and lies, I'm thankful to Pastor Brian Houston for making the statement because it did get out. It was viral. Everybody was asking me about it. So what I did is we tried for a day to contact Hillsong via email and said, hey, we've heard this. Can you confirm or deny? We got no response. So then the next day on radio, I politely asked as a colleague, Pastor Carl, on our New York station, all of our stations at that time, but blasting through New York, covering a lot of New York, could you please clarify? It would really help because your public statements weren't always clear. And if you could say something, it would really help. We'd really appreciate it. And then within the day, two statements from Brian Houston, which I'm thankful for. So, look, I understand you want to be loving. I understand that. I care. Listen, we had a protest at Fire Church a couple years back. I was out of the state. I was in Canada at that time. But our people were ready. We were told day after Gay Pride event that there was going to be a protest event at our church. So I got on the radio, and I said, please, We'd love for you to come. Don't come in small numbers. We want to welcome you. We've been praying for you. By all means, come. Pastor then, Scott Volk, who was then our lead pastor, still part of our leadership team, but no longer pastoring the congregation. Scott went to the internet page of a gay website where this was being advertised and posted as the pastor that he really encouraged the people to come, wanted them to know we love them, we've been praying for them. Genuinely, that's it. He did it from the heart. He did it from the heart. The day of the protest, unfortunately, only 10 people came. We really wanted more. We had our folks waiting outside for them with refreshments. They were waiting outside with refreshments and some snacks. We invited them to come in the service and join us. They declined. After 15 minutes, they left and said, you guys were too nice to deserve a protest. The next day, the organizer of the protest called in. This is the next day. The organizer of the protest called into my radio show to personally apologize and say that we did not deserve the protest. And basically, they thought we were different people than we were, etc. And I said, hey, you don't have to apologize. You thought a certain way. You have your convictions. I said, but of course I forgive you. I said, my question is, you have your deep-seated views. They're not changing. I have mine. They're not changing. We live in the same community. How can we be neighbors? And as a result of that, we went out, he and his partner with Scott and me, and had a great dinner, a couple hours spent together, hour and a half, maybe 2 hours spent together, with warm, honest interaction. But when he called in, he said, at the protest, he said, we met with perfect love. He just said it was beautiful what happened. And I wrote an article, a follow-up article about it, even gave a link to the audio where you could hear the phone call. Now, why do I say that? Because these are the people who've heard me preach about gay activism being the principal threat to freedom of religion, speech, and conscience. These are the people who have heard me speak out against the redefining of marriage. These are the people who have joined with us when we've gone to a gay pride event by the hundreds and prayed across the street from it or handed out free bottles of water or walked among the crowds and asked, do you need prayer for anything? They've heard me. They were there praying over my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, when it came out. And yet, they're not haters. They're not angry. They're not mean-spirited. They genuinely care. They've been part of our prayer meetings with tears as we pray for our local community and pray for those who identify as LGBT. So you can have a backbone of steel and a heart of compassion. If God could put it in my heart, a sensitivity that is very deep and very real, that God knows and anyone I spend time with knows, and yet with conviction, he can do it for you. Maybe you're stronger on the compassion part, weaker on the conviction. God can give you the backbone. I was strong on the conviction part. He's given me the compassion. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Alpharetta, Georgia. Chris, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Yeah, hi, Dr. Brown. It's a pleasure speaking with you.
Thank you.
I just wanted to inquire about Brian Houston's comments, and I followed you. I love your ministry. I'm a huge supporter of what you're doing. But I noticed in there that he mentioned something that was kind of concerning to me because it still seemed a bit ambiguous when he said that he's okay with homosexuals participating in church membership. And, that was a quote from his blog post. And so I thought that was still a little concerning because it raised the question of how do they practice church discipline then?
Exactly.
And I just wanted to get your thoughts on that.
Yeah, it's I plan to write an article tonight, so hopefully to go live tomorrow morning. I plan to write an article. Tentative title will be something like Hillsong, Homosexuality, Internet Rumors, and Spiritual Clarity, where I talk about, on the one hand, the danger of spreading internet rumors and not having something verified. I think twice in the history of this broadcast, we got news stories. I did, my producer did, someone working with me, and it seemed to be from a bona fide site, but there was one slight change in the site to make it look like it was bona fide, and it was false. And I got up and said, this really concerns me. Only to find out that it was inaccurate. So we always need to do our diligence to make sure. That being said, I have concerns about that specific line as well. It's so in my article, I'm going to raise questions. I'm going to thank him for the statement, because trust me, it would be very easy if he wasn't convicted of this biblically to cave in, given the type of people that Hillsong reaches and the communities they reach and how they're looked at as progressive and so on. It would be very easy to cave in. So I'm so glad that his statement has been clear and unequivocal. Some critics are still attacking them. However, that's the one line. It's one thing if you don't have church membership. So anybody shows up, but in order to be a member, you have to be committed to living a biblical life. But if you're saying you have membership and you can participate in a membership and be openly homosexual, practicing it, no, that's completely unscriptural. And you're right. What happens to church discipline?
Fire we want, for fire we please.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
So again, just wanted to make this last point clear, Chris. I 100% agree with that question and concern. If you have membership, that would imply some acceptance, covenant, solidarity, like heart, like mind. In other words, if someone said, I'm a Hindu, I believe in many gods or many manifestations of God, I believe in Krishna and so on and so forth, I'd be a member of your church, well, that person wouldn't be a member. Come all you want, hear the gospel, we'll love on you, we'll reach out to you and care for you. If you have a need, we'll try to meet it. No, you couldn't be a member. Hey, I'm living with my girlfriend, we love your church, we want to become members. Oh, okay, well, you need to either stop living together or be married, because we do have holiness requirements. So that, of course, is the concern in 1 Corinthians 5, would address it directly. All right, friends, if I don't get to this article about can the church embrace the transgender community, you can read on different websites, but go to charismanews.com in the opinion column. You will see it there. Stillwater, Oklahoma. James, thank you, sir, for calling The Line of Fire.
Thank you, Dr. Brown, for taking my call.
You bet.
I also want to thank your assistants. I wrote in, and they were very respectful to me, and I just appreciate that. Just, you run a class ship.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
So, although I would like to share something funny real quick, if you don't mind. I accidentally dialed 888-34-TRUTH. And I got some energy company. So if somebody calls in, they need to dial 866-34-TRUTH.
Got it. All right. Good. We'll make sure.
It was kind of funny when it happened.
Yeah. Thankfully, it was an energy company and not some bad, you know, bad call that you made. So anyway, yeah. What's on your mind, James?
Well, over the last 10 years, I'm an advocate for the LGBT community. I have met many, many, many people who are either gay or lesbian. They love God. And to me, I think the biggest problem as far as marriage in this country is not those that want to get married who are gay and lesbian. I think the biggest problem is the heterosexual young folks who don't want to get married. That concerns me greatly.
Mm. Now why does it concern you?
Because it's a trend. People don't seem to understand that relationships are not like fast food. You can't just go in, get it, and, well, if I don't like it, I'll just get rid of it, and then I'll get something else. You know, relationships, you're never going to find the perfect person. You're never going to find mm-hmm. somebody who's going to do everything perfectly all the time. I've been married over 15 years. I know I've made my share of mistakes, but my wife and I, we always work through problems. We always talk it out.
Right.
And that's part of the culture that's going on here in America, is that people just, well, this person's not meeting my needs, I'll just kick them to the curb. And that's
so more of a hookup culture and self-centered or narcissistic. Now, of course, you know, the other side to it, James, congratulations on 15 years. Nancy and I are approaching 40 years, which is just so wonderful. But of course, there's just the culture with a lot of young people. They may not even be that sexually active or even living with someone. It's just they're not as interested in marriage as their parents were, or they'll put it off longer. But my bigger question is, why do you think marriage is so important?
Well, it's a covenant between two people that you're agreeing to be with each other until until death do you part. It's a commitment. It's something that
right.
It's more than just feelings. It's more than just this lovey-dovey, wow, I fell in love, and this person's really awesome, so I think we'll just move in together.
Got it. But do you think there's anything, though, you mentioned that it's a covenant relationship with two people. Why does it require two people? What's so special about two people? And is there, in your relationship with your wife, and you're raised by a mom and a dad, do you think there are differences between men and women, and it's the male plus female that gives us the reason for two?
I heard your debate with Michael, or with Matthew Vines, and I really wish he would have made this point, because every time in the Bible, across the board, Hebrew Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, anytime somebody's been married to more than one person, there's always been a favorite. And to me, there's something ethically wrong with that. When you're, even King David, he started off, he was married, I'm trying to remember, there was a woman that...
We know the problems with polygamy. I mean, the first mention of two wives is in Genesis 4 with Lamech, and it doesn't mention anything negative there, but I'm with you. Polygamy, we learn by example, is not God's ideal. But the thing is, though, James, if you're going to use Scripture, then you have to recognize that every single reference to homosexual practice is flatly condemned, and there's not a single example in the Bible. Matthew Vines recognizes that the Jonathan David thing is not a homosexual relationship. So the same Bible tells us that God made a man for a woman and a woman for a man, presupposes from beginning to end that all marriages consist of male-female, and then the importance of procreation, because no gay couple in the world on their own can bring a child into the world, and then joining the child to a mom and a dad. That's why marriage is also so important for the next generation to even exist. And then, if we're going to use the Scriptures as our guide, then there's only one thing we can conclude, that God's ideal is one man, one woman, joined together for life, and kids being raised by a mom and a dad. So
longer conversation that I'd like to have with you, possibly on Up for Debate.
I will tell you what. Let's do this, okay? I'm out of time now, but it's easy enough to remember, James from Stillwater, Oklahoma. Up for Debate, by the way, on Moody, I know it never approached them. That's something where they approach people who are known, leaders or whatever in different areas, to debate certain things. You can always, submit something to them, but let's do this, okay? Because I'm sure we can have a civil conversation. I don't know my exact broadcasting schedule, but if you just look, in other words, we don't book everything way, way out because we just want to be sensitive to what's happening day by day. But if you look any time where we announce it, because every morning it's announced on our website and Facebook page, what we're talking about on the air, if it's wide open or if it's a moral cultural issue, try to call in earlier and I'll do my best to bump you up so that we can have a conversation. I'm out of time. I got to run. Okay. So I've asked you some questions. You start to respond. I'm sure we can have a civil, enlightening conversation. Fair enough. All right. We'll go back to the Bible and to these other questions, and we'll have a conversation about this. So I'll remember this. Betsy will note it also. And I'll do my best to bump you up so that we can have a longer conversation. Fair enough. But I got to run. So thank you, sir, for calling. And thank you for the kind words as well. All right, friends, I am out of time. I've got to go. But please visit the website, and your gift of any size today and through the end of this week, my thank you gift is the entire teaching series, Go and Sin No More, a free download for your gift of any size. It'll help you. It'll empower you to live a godly life. So AskDrBrown.org, click on donate. You can read more there. My bottom line today, I will be civil, loving, compassionate, caring for every human being I meet. And I'll speak the truth without compromise. I believe that's the Jesus way.